Let's see here. Is this you gonna sing? Do you remember that song? Okay, I got you. I got you. God's awesome. Get your Bibles out. I want you to turn around, stand up, get your Bibles out. And before you open them up, look at somebody and give them a high five, low five, no five. Tell them God's in control. We're going right back to the same chapter we were at last week, the same verse we were at last week, the same verses. But we're going to take it from a different side this morning. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Matter of fact, if I go up here and put it up here, it'll be up here where you can see it. I don't know what I was thinking about. I reckon all day long I've had blonde moments. I thought this was gray coming in. I think it's blonde. Oh, excuse me. All you blonde-headed people out there, I love you. I love you. I love you. Please don't. If you're going to throw anything, if you can throw vegetables, make sure vegetables and fruit, make sure it's not canned. Amen. All right, let's try it this way. Okay, how many here? Let me ask you a question. How many in here has ever dealt with burnout? Oh, isn't that cool? Yeah. Matter of fact, I saw some of you go, yeah, and I saw some of you go. I saw some of you doing like this. You're on fire right now. Amen. Burnout. Burnout is a unique phenomena that is of this age. In an age where we have all this stuff to make things easier for us, we seem to be getting burnt out faster because we're trying to do too much. Amen? Amen. So here's what you do. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We go to verse 27. I got it up there, so if you don't have to have your Bible, if you don't want to, you look up there. What sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord. Have you ever felt that way? My way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Has thou not known, has thou not heard from the everlasting God? The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now let's just do another version of this now. I like the Message version. It really, really even clarifies it more. And it kind of, you understand what Isaiah's under, what Isaiah is seeing here, what Israel is seeing here. And here it is. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying God has lost track of me, that he doesn't care what happens to me? Wow. That sure brings it in a little easier to understand than that Elizabethan English. Think about it. God, you've lost track of me. You don't even see where I'm at. Do you even care anymore? Have you ever felt that way? Do you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. Woo! God doesn't come and go. God lasts. Even when you don't feel him, he's still here. Amen? His presence is still here. Oh, go ahead and give him a hand clap. That's right. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. I can see, look, if God's going to pause to catch his breath, he's paused a few times for me. I don't think he was catching his breath. He was sighing. There goes David again. Oh, watch out. There's DC right behind him. Had to throw that in there, buddy. How you doing? He knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to dropouts. From even young people tire and drop out, yet folks in their prime stumble and fall, or young folk in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon the Lord get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag. Ready? Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. I thank you, God, that we are not alone, that you are with us every step of the way. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us to see, to know, to understand that although we may feel burnt out, God, that you're not. And, Lord, it teaches us to draw strength from you, not ourselves. We thank you for that too, Lord. Just like last week with the eagle down in the valley, beating off his beak and plucking out his feathers and beating off his beak and waiting for everything to grow back, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that our youth is being renewed also, Lord. It's a process. And we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, get somebody a high five and sit down. Say, praise God and sit down. Amen. A middle-aged man wasn't feeling well, so he went to the doctor for a checkup. And when he went for the checkup, after a thorough examination, the doctor said, well, based on my examination, the best thing for you is to cut out all sweets, all fatty foods, give up alcohol, and stop smoking. The man said, well, to be honest with you, doc, I don't deserve the best, so what's the second best? God is good, isn't he? Now, the problem of this age. I look around. I hear it all the time in counseling. I hear it. I was even walking in Walmart last night. Walking in Walmart, I wound up having a little counseling session right there at the front door at Walmart for about 20 minutes. As I'm walking out of Walmart, another one walks up, and I have another little counseling session for about 20 minutes. While I was in Walmart trying to go back and get some eggs and hurry up and get home, right back there, I had another little session. And you know what it all was? If you want to really go about what it really was all about, was people are burned out. They can't take another thing. They've had it. Their hair. You know, the hair, if it's not turning gray, it's turning loose. They just, they're, and if it's not turning loose, they're trying to pull it out because they've had it absolutely up to here. Life is just coming at you so fast. It's hard to even think about it. You're like on a roller coaster. It's coming so fast. The curves are coming. You don't even know how to get yourself ready. I was on the Grizzly at King's Dominion. How many of you have been on that old wooden roller coaster, the Grizzly? I'm on the Grizzly, and one of the guys from church says, oh, come on, you big baby, put your hands up, and we go over. I said, I'm not a big baby. I'll take that challenge. And as we're going over, he's grabbing that thing like he's grabbing everything he can, screaming like a little girl. And it's about time. I look, I said, I better grab a hold, too. So I'm trying to grab a hold. And about time I grab a hold, he goes, look, there was a hot air balloon. And so I look, and the thing goes, phew. I thought I cracked four ribs. That's how life comes at us. I mean, it's just bam, 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 bam. And every time you think that it's going to slow down a little bit, here comes another bam. It's almost like we're in a bumper car derby. And every time you turn around, something is hitting you. People are being burned out at a very high rate. No matter, here, when I break it down, you burn out. You have nothing left to give. How many's ever felt that way? I got nothing left. Don't ask me anything. Don't call my name. Just go ahead and let me cover my head. Let me find a little hole somewhere. Don't call me. I am not home. How many of you ever felt that way? All right, now, look. But then none of you burn out or burn up because not only do they have nothing left to give, they're consumed. What they have is gone. It's one thing for me to give you what I have in excess, to give you as my cup is being blessed and my saucer is being blessed because my cup's running over, and so I'm letting you drink from the saucer. Oh, that's awesome. But then there comes a time where the saucer's dry, and that's when you burn out. But when you burn up, the cup is dry. So here you are, your cup is dry, your saucer's dry, and then you find yourself, wow, the bottle, look, you're burnt through. Now you're just hurting. Just hurting. And you're saying, God, do you even see me? I'm one of your children. I did what you said. I crossed every I. I crossed every T. I dotted every I. I did exactly what you told me, God. And now I feel like you just wound me up and let me go. The theist believes that God just created the earth and walked away and said, have at it. And that's the kind of idea you get in your head sometimes when you're going through so much and you don't see God. But see, listen. Matter of fact, when you're in this position, the bottom line is you have no strength. You're zapped. It's just zapped. Amen? So you find yourself in this position. And what it does is, this is where I see people at all the time. Remember, in Walmart, at the back of Walmart, even at the front of Walmart. I told Linda, next time I go to Walmart, I'm going to put a bag over my head. because a 5-minute trip wound up being an hour and a half trip, and only 30 minutes of it was strategically trying to shop and strategically trying to hide. But with this big head and this big nose, you can't hide. All right, so now watch this. Here's what I find out. When you get this way, it leads to frustration because you can't do anything about it. You don't think God's helping you. You don't think you're getting any help anywhere else. And so you get frustrated. Then you get disappointed because it seems like there's not going to be any change. Anybody felt like nothing's changing? Nothing's changing. It's all staying the same. The pressure's still the same. The help is still out there somewhere. I'm praying, but I feel like I'm praying to God, and He's got His ears like this. Sometimes I think when I pray, I've even thought that God's sitting there going, na 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 na, while I'm praying. Amen. There goes David again. Okay, y'all get ready. Angels ready. 1, 2, 3. Na 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 na. Have you ever felt that way? And then there's depression, because not only do you see any change, now you feel hopeless. And then once you feel hopeless, then doubt begins to come, because before you just didn't see any change. Now you believe it's never going to change. And so your faith begins to break down. And as your faith is breaking down, then the problem starts reacting. And here we are. We look at verse 27, and here it goes. If you look at verse 27, you'll see what's going on here. They say. It's one thing for you to feel it in your head. It's one thing for you to feel it in your spirit. But the Bible says, what is the most powerful weapon, arsenal that the spirit and the flesh all combined have in your body is your... a little rudder will steer a great big ship. Your tongue. So the pressure's built up. And you've tried your best not to talk bad. You've tried your best not to complain. You've tried your best to stay holy, holy, holy. And then you just have all you can take. There's no change. There's no hope of change. And then all of a sudden, you start letting it out. People around you go, whoa, that don't sound like you. Anybody ever said it to you lately? That don't sound like you. Man, do you really mean that? Are you really that way? Do you really think that God has forgot you? Do you really think God's not watching? Do you really think that He's put you on the back burner? So here's the reaction is, they say. And then the reason is, my way is hidden from the Lord. I can't look. He can't even see me. He chooses not to see me. It's beyond Him. And Satan seems to have the powerful advantage. I'm trying, I'm doing everything within my power, but it seems like no matter what I do, Satan wins. Wow. Every last one of us, that's our address at least once a week. Let's be honest. About once a week. Some of us about once a day. Some of us, when they're in the bind, is once an hour. Sometimes it's very around you. I'll try to say very quick, but then you think going across the street. You see, then you resolve. It's like this, because He doesn't see it because He don't care. God, if you really cared about me, would you let this happen? If you really cared, would you let this be going on? If you really cared, would you let me be under such stress and turmoil? Yeah, you know, I saw a person yesterday, and y'all don't know this person, but the person just said in Walmart, they said, I do my best. I dot every I, cross every T. I do everything I think God wants me to do, and it just keeps coming. And then I said something that was profound. I didn't know whether they were going to hit me with the carton of eggs or they were going to praise God, but their hand went up anyway. I said, do you remember Job? He was the greatest man in the land. And look what happened to him. I said, if you think about it, God was bragging on Job. He said, go ahead and give it your best shot. Watch him. He'll still serve me. Have you ever thought that sometimes God is actually letting you get hit so He can show Satan? It's not the blessing that He's serving, but He's serving me. It's not the blessing that He's seeking, but He's seeking me. It's not the power that He's seeking, but it's my power. And you give Him your best shot and watch Him stand up. When the smoke clears, he'll still be standing. Oh, we don't see that. We can't feel that, but that's what's going on. So here's what happens. Don't resolve. Don't get thinking God hasn't seen you, that God didn't watch you. God's watching. God sees you. Matter of fact, watch this. Here's the responses. When you find yourself going through something, here's the first response. You run. I've seen people run from stuff. Run. David even said, if I could be a dove, I'd fly away and be at peace. You know what? Ain't gonna happen. Run. I'm gonna tell you something. If God's doing the work in you, you can run, but you cannot hide. If Satan's attacking you, you can run, but you cannot hide. Matter of fact, usually they work hand in hand. While God is building you, Satan's attacking you. God uses Satan's attacks to build you. Satan does it to tear you down. God allows it to build you up and to show him there's still people in here that when the smoke clears will still be standing and praising me. So run. You just can't get enough distance from you and the problem. You can run, but you cannot hide. All right? Number two, here's a good one. Deny it. Avoiding the problem only just gives it more power. Like the three preachers, there was a Baptist, you could lose your salvation. There was the Methodist, you couldn't lose your salvation. And then there was the Pentecostal, who just name it, claim it. They all died in the ship, went down their boat. They wound up in hell. They look at each other, and the Baptist said, well, I must have lost it. The Methodist said, well, I must not have ever had it. And the Charismatic said, this ain't hell, and it's not hot. This ain't hell, this ain't hot. You can deny it all you want to. When you're going through something, it hurts. There's a song out that says, God, you're good, but right now, it don't feel so good. I love that song. It says, thy will be done. But it says, God, I know you're a good God. You're a God of good. But right now, I don't feel too good. I don't feel like I'm actually being treated like your child. Yes, you are. God's working a miracle in your life right now. And then there's the third reaction. Just give up. All your fight's gone. You lose your appetite for victory. If you ever lose your appetite, it's a problem. Amen? So here we go. First thing I want you to remember. God ain't giving up on your situation. Look at somebody and say, God ain't giving up on you. Amen? It says, he doesn't, and look, he's not giving up on you. He does not grow weary. God will not give up on you. He will not give up on the cause that he called you to. You may be working for God right now and thinking, God, I don't know why I'm even working for you. It don't sound like anything's working. Hold on. You may just be priming the pump. Just hold on. Because when the pump is primed, the water is going to flow. Some of y'all in here right now, you're priming the pump, and all you see is a little bit, little bit, little bit, and thinking, God, is it ever going to happen? And God says, keep on priming, because eventually it's going to overflow you. Amen? And then, watch this. Here we go. Let's go ahead. God knows about your situation, and he understands it better than you do. I can't get it through my big head, through my thick skull. God understands my situation better than I. I've seen times where accidents happen or problems happen. I said, God, where were you at? And then I realized he was there all the time. I had a guy, one time his son got killed, and he asked me, he said, where was God when my son died? And I said, the same place he was when his son died. On the throne, in control, never relinquishing his power one bit. We don't understand all the things we go through. We don't understand why we have to go through things, but know this, God is on the throne. He is in control. He has not given or relinquished his authority. God is God is God is God. Amen. He hadn't given up on you. Some of y'all may have given up on yourself or given up on each other, but he hadn't given up on you. Look, he doesn't grow weary. Even the youth grow tired. All I can think about is, I couldn't wait. I used to, when our boys were born, and then we'd go to grandma's or go somewhere, we'd come back, and here was the, every time, mama would say, I'm so tired. And she'd walk in the house. And I'd carry in Daniel. Then I'd come back and carry DC. Then I'd go back to the car, and I would carry whatever DC had. I'd go back and find what Daniel had. I made about 5 or 6 or 7 trips every time we'd go out of the car. I said, I'll be glad when they get old enough that they can carry their own stuff. The only problem was, by the time they got that old, they had their license. And so I didn't have anything to carry. Amen. Look. Even the youth grow tired. The danger is to trust in our own strength. I've even said before, I'm Superman. I know y'all have never said that. Last night, my leg has been, I told you my leg, I mean, after all this time, my leg's been doing good because I lost all this weight. And then my leg went out a few weeks ago. Then it went out again when we were going to Pitt Detention Center. Last night, I had one of those 28 packs of water. And I pulled it out of the car, and I was feeling good, and I was ready to go in. I didn't have my leg set, and I just threw it up in the air and caught it on my shoulder so I could walk in. I was going to grab another bag, and when I threw it on my shoulder, I heard my knee go. So I spent the next hour on ice. You see, I was feeling so good. And it got me because I trusted in my own. You see, none of us can do this alone. Hope in the Lord. He's going to renew your strength. Remember what we talked about last week. You got to remember that. But in troubled times, remember this. God will not leave you. And he's not grown tired of you. Amen. He hadn't grown tired of you. He loves you just the same. Nothing's changed. So remember, number one, God hasn't given up on you. Remember that. Somebody say that. God hasn't given up on me. Say it again. God has never given up on me. Number two, look to God for your second wind. How many could use a second wind? Amen. All right. So I said, yeah, third, fourth. That word wait again means to bind together. We talked about it last week, so I'm not going to it heavy and hard, but it means to wait with hope. Not only hope, but to expect. And when you expect, you connect to God, so you're getting another strength that's going to help you. But here goes the one I'm wanting to hit to today. And he says he's going to renew your strength. Again, so he's going to renew your youth like an eagle. Here it says he's going to renew your strength. So let's just watch this. It says in Isaiah 61:3, let's read that. And appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let me just break that down. I couldn't get that verse out of my head yesterday. No matter where I went, I kept hearing that verse and kept seeing that verse. And so I sat down and said, okay, Lord, let's talk. The first thing you showed me about this verse, it is so, so awesome. Appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Church. Y'all just say church. Appoint unto them that mourn in the church. That word appoint means he's going to settle it. You're thinking right now, God, are you ever going to stop this? Is there ever going to come an end to it? God, am I ever going to be able to walk again? Am I ever going to be able to think again? Am I ever going to be able to have free time again? Am I ever going to find a way to even think? And God says, hold on, I got an appointed time. I got a time waiting for you. If you just don't give up, if you trust me and pull from me, I'm giving you, I'm allowing this problem to overwhelm you so that you in turn will overwhelm me. I mean, let me back that one up. It sounds kind of counterproductive, don't it? He allows things to overwhelm you, to drop you down, to put you to your knees, so that you can turn on that inside spiritual man and you start flooding heaven with prayers. And you start flooding your mind with the Word. And you start flooding yourself with God. God, 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 God. So physically, we cannot overwhelm Him. But in our own mind, we can go to God and just keep going and going and going. And we say, okay, God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to be done. If you don't help me, it ain't going to be helped. I saw a guy one time. I told him, I said, here's your whole problem. He says, what's that? I said, your rearview mirror is bigger than your windshield, and it's getting in your way. He said, Pastor, can you stop and back up and explain that? I said, you're riding down the road of life, and you got this great old big rearview mirror up in your dash, and you can't, and you got a little old bitty windshield. You can't even see through the windshield because the rearview mirror's in the way. I said, if you can shrink that rearview mirror and quit looking in it so much, I mean, it's everybody else's fault. Everything, blah, 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 blah. They won't do this. They won't do blah, 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 blah. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat someone for breakfast. I said, if you can shrink the rearview mirror and widen the windshield, watch what happens. He looked at me and he got so upset with me. And I said, well, praise God, have a good day. And I walked off. I saw him a month later. And he said, Pastor, Pastor, Pastor. Because I wanted his pastor. They just called me Pastor. He said, Pastor. I said, what? He said, you know that time we talked? I said, yeah. He said, I didn't really like it. I said, no, I realized that. It was kind of obvious. Matter of fact, I thought I was going to have to duck. He said, thank you. He said, that night changed my life. He said, because I didn't realize how much I looked in that rearview mirror. He said, I didn't realize. I thought I was looking out in the windshield, but I kept looking at the rearview mirror, and I kept finding blame, and I kept finding hurt that I didn't need to hurt, and people I didn't need to blame. And now I'm taking responsibility, and I'm moving forward. I quit looking in the rearview mirror. It's a little bitty thing. I'm looking through the windshield now, and life is so much better. Praise God. Thank you, preacher. We're not holding back on me. And I said, brother, I just felt like that's what you needed to hear because that's what you were saying. He said, well, you ain't got to say it anymore. He said, the rearview mirror is like this. The windshield is like this. And life's getting good. So now watch. Watch this. Settled. Y'all say, God's going to settle it. God's going to settle it. Say it. God's going to settle this. There's an appointed time. And then, he says, here's the situation. I'm an exchange. Remember, you ruin your strength. There's an exchange going on. I'm going to exchange beauty for your ashes. Now, if something's burned up behind you, all you see is ashes. A lot of us right now, we've got burn-up dreams. We've got burn-up ideas. We've got burn-up thoughts. We've got all kinds of things burning behind us. Job sat in a pile of ashes and poured them on his head. That was a symbol of mourning back in those days. And God was telling us there's going to come a time when everything that you thought was terrible is going to wind up being a beautiful thing. The cross was terrible, but now we cling to it. I'm so glad we sang that song at the end. You see, back in the day, people wouldn't even put a cross up because a cross actually was very much despised. Not only was a cross despised, but a cross actually, it was such a bad thing because only the worst of the worst would go on a cross. They would exile them to an island of Patmos or exile them somewhere, or they put them work in the mines, or they do something with them. The only people they put on a cross was people that actually there was no other way out. To get them out of society, you put them on a cross. And it was terrible. But around 300 A.D., it became a symbol of what Jesus did for us. God took those ashes and made something beautiful out of it. Some of y'all in here right now, you've had things happen in your past and it looked like a pile of ashes. But you got to sit back and think about this. You can't judge God's faithfulness while you're in the middle of the battle. You got to look backwards and see God's faithfulness. That's when you pour the rearview mirror out. And you look, and remember, God didn't let you down before. There's some things in my life that were absolutely ugly. Ashes. But I can look back now and say, thank you, God, because you made something beautiful out of something so bad. And I thank you, God, because you're working it, not me. Then the next word, saturation. How does he do this? The oil of joy for mourning. Let the Holy Spirit just saturate every being of your body. Saturate you. Just saturate you. God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to be done. God, I've got to have you. God, you know, sometimes I just sing. Just sing. You know, I don't know what else to say, so I just sing. When I pastored in Bath, Betty Gerganis was one of our piano players, and she was the one that wrote The Bloodline. You can't cross the bloodline. And if I was having a bad day, a bad week, I'd come in and I'd tell her, guess what time it is, Sister Betty? She said, time for The Bloodline. I said, yeah. And she'd sing The Bloodline for me. And I'd ride down the road and sing it. You can't cross the bloodline. You can try it, but you can't cross the bloodline. And see, I was there with her, and I got a chance to hear why she wrote the song. Her daddy had died. Things were looking bad. Her mama said, don't worry about it. God's got this. And said, Satan can try. He's coming at you, but he can try, but he can't cross that bloodline. And she said, that's right, mama. He can't cross that bloodline. And so in the middle of all that pain, in the middle of all that hurt, and with her daddy dying, all this stuff going on in school, and she was trying to be a Christian in the middle of all this, God started speaking to her. Satan can try. You may snare and you may fight, but you're going to lose this battle tonight. Remember, you can't cross the bloodline. I said, well, Sister Betty, I'm sad. I really feel bad that you had to go through all that. I said, but you know what? God took ashes and made something beautiful out of it, because hundreds of hundreds of hundreds of people have found solace in that song. Amen? So let the Holy Spirit saturate you. And then change your attitude, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. In other words, instead of being depressed all the time, how many like being around a depressed person all the time? Like the policeman coming on the bridge, the guy's getting ready to jump. The policeman says, there ain't no, why you jumping for, son? Why you jumping for? He says, I got it bad. He says, nobody can have it that bad. He says, I do. He says, well, how about you tell me about it? If you talk about it, you'll feel better. And so the guy starts telling the policeman how bad he had it. 30 minutes later, they held hands and jumped together. Sometimes we're the depressed person, don't even know it. When somebody says, listen carefully, I'm going to give you a little hint. Two things. People that like to hang around you, stop hanging around you. That's either you got a bad spirit or you need to use a sprinkle a day. Or number two, if those closest to you that get a chance to see you, some of us, all you see is, you know, is all you see is Brother David. You don't get a chance to see daddy, husband, coach, man. You think, man, that guy walks on water all the time. I mean, I bet when he breaks bread, I bet you he takes one loaf of bread and eats off of it for 6 months. Not quite like that. DC's smiling right now. Yeah. But you see, people that really know you, not the people that see your facade, or not the people that see your image that they think you are, but somebody really knows you, really gets to know you, like your family. Here's your hint that things are going south, that you might be depressed. Maybe not depressed, but have a depressed spirit. Or maybe a season of depression. Here it is. But somebody closest to you that knows you when you're up and down, sees you when you're in and out, sees you when you're being the mighty Christian and seeing you when you're doing the best just to say praise the Lord. And they say, what's wrong? You don't act like yourself. Or they say, can you tell me something? You don't sound like you normally sound. What's going on? When you hear that from somebody that really knows you, be careful. Because things may not be going too good inside of you. Getting ready to go. Getting ready to quit. I've only got 15 more slides. No, I don't. When the Lord shall renew your strength, that's powerfulness, abundant strength, ability to overcome. I'm just going to go through it real quick, like. But here it is. You've heard me say it so many times, so I'm just going to quickly go through this. Mount up with wings as eagles. God's power is the source of our greatest potential. See, when we get under the gun, God's allowing it for us to actually quit trusting self and trust Him. I've noticed that at times when I start trusting in myself, I don't even realize it until something bad happens. And I'm forced to go to my knees. Then I realize, wait a minute, I've been trusting in myself all along. I've been trusting in my own strength, my own wisdom, my own understanding. I've got to trust more in God. That's the amount of things. Exchange your power alone plus His power. God will take your ordinary and He'll put His extra with it. Then it'll be extraordinary and then something special will happen. So mount up. Remember I told you about mounting up? The eagle climbs to the rock. He holds up his wings. He just spreads them. And while he's standing there, he just stands there and waits until the wind hits him. When the wind comes up from down below and comes up, he just falls right into the wind and he soars. He's not flapping. He's just soaring. Just soaring. Just having him a good time. Just soaring. That poor little sparrow is out there doing like this. Now, hummingbird, Lord knows. I think I told y'all this already, but they got some scientists together and found out why the hummingbird hums. They don't know the words. All right, here we go. Here we go. I'm getting real quick. Real quick. That word walk means to carry a burden, and to pursue while you're carrying it. It's one thing to pick up something. It's another thing to pick up and move. Amen? I'm holding up. All right, let's go. No, I don't want you to pick up this thing. I want you to take it out to the car. All right? When you're carrying that burden, and you're not only carrying it, but you're in the middle of a battle. You're pursuing. You got a sword in one hand, a trowel in the other. You're not going to faint. You will not grow wearisome. It will cause you to fly. Number two, here we go. I told you I'm getting through with this real quick. Run means to rush, to be rushed. Get ready to be pulled in multiple directions. How many in here could honestly say, just stick up your finger? I feel like I get pulled in multiple directions every day. If you're a parent, you get pulled in multiple directions. If you're a spouse, you get pulled in multiple directions. If you're an employee, you get pulled in multiple directions. If you're an employer, you get pulled in multiple directions. If you breathe, you get pulled in multiple directions. He says you're going to run. You're going to be pulled in multiple directions, but you're not going to get exhausted. Why? Because I'm not flapping. I've gone down in the valley. I've pulled out my feathers. I've beat off my beak. It's all grown back. I got my eyesight back. I got my stealth back. And now I'm up in the air, and I'm not flapping my wings. I'm soaring. I asked the Lord for that one little thing. Lord, when the rapture takes place, as we're going up, can I stop for just a few seconds and soar? I remember riding with Steve in that airplane. The first time it went up, I didn't realize that it was going to get to me like it did. And so I ate some crackers on the way home. I said, I got it next time I ride with them. I got it all figured out. I'll eat a pack of crackers on the way. So I ate a pack of crackers all the way to Steve's. I said, Steve, I'm ready. Forget I'm in the plane. He said, ain't a problem, bro. First thing he did, I think we're at 5,000 feet. We're in the clouds. I said, Steve, you got a radar? He said, no. You got a radio? He said, no. I said, how are we going to have a plane? It's on the side of that cloud. He said, we don't. I said, can you do me a favor? I was thinking how pretty it was. It's awesome being in the cloud. All of a sudden, I said, can we go down a little bit? And he carries me over to where the bridge was being built. And he goes in his dive. How fast did you go? 160? I mean, just. And that thing was little, and I grabbed what I could grab hold of, and my belly was going, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. I said, Steve. He said, what? I said, forget it. I said, forget it. I'm in this thing. And so he says, I got one place to take you. So he goes out to PCS and he says, this is where I used to work. And I had a camera. And you can actually see it on the camera. On the camera, and Steve goes just like this. It spins around. He said, that's where I used to work. And you can see the camera go. Linda was watching it a bit. She said, you turned the camera? I said, no, that was us. And I said, Steve. And Steve said, wow, that bike got me. He said that. Remember that, Steve? I said, that bike got you. What do you think about me? He said, what you want to do? I said, you either land or get ready to clean out this cockpit. And so he landed. I got out and got some more crackers. Amen. But can you imagine the day when it wouldn't make you sick? You know what? Tomorrow at work, I dare you. You ain't got to do this. People think you're crazy. But in your mind, just say, God, I'm soaring today. I'm not flapping. I'm soaring. I'm not going to flap. I'm going to soar. I'm going to soar. I'm going to soar. And watch what God will do for you. You see, when you trust in, stand in, and operate in God's power. Watch this. There's me before my hair changed. Even burning the candle at both ends will destroy. I can't say you won't stop burning the candle at both ends. That's long. But I can say if you do it right. I like what Mae West said. Y'all remember Mae West? Some of y'all remember Mae West. Why don't you come up and see me sometime? Remember her? Her and W.C. Fields? All right. Well, Mae West said, you only live once. But if you do it right, once is enough. That's powerful. Amen? Let's go back to this verse, and then we're going to call the people. D.C., get ready to come do your thing, bro. We're going to read it one more time. But why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me, that he doesn't care what happens to me? Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. Wow. That's powerful. I ought to make some copies of this and put them on the back. I will. I'll make copies of that one scripture and put them back there. You can grab one if you want it. He doesn't get tired, doesn't pause to catch his breath. He knows everything inside and out. He energizes those who get tired. He gives fresh strength to drop out. So I mean, that word drop out is not a negative thing as you're thinking. You know, dropping out means literally to fall out. You're so tired. Even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall, but those who wait upon God shall get fresh strength. They shall spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get weary. They walk and don't lag behind. Everybody stand. You know, I've been doing this for quite some time now, pastoring that is, and the Lord showed me something. And I really called on pretty cool to it, and you got your microphone. And so the Lord showed me something. Anytime that God really starts working strong on some sermons for me quickly for Sunday, and I got it on Monday for Sunday, the flesh says, well, now you can rest a little bit. And the Spirit says, no, he's let you know this ahead of time because of what's coming up. It's going to take up. It's like every time something happens, somebody gets in a bad accident or there's a funeral, or there's something that really takes up a lot of time, and I find out God's actually going ahead and smoothing out the path. And so now, when things like that happen, I understand that God is taking care of the situation. Some of y'all in here, if you could go back and look how God was preparing what you're going through now, what he was preparing you, how he prepared you for what you're going through now, wow. You'd be so happy to know that God is still there. He sees. He knows. He understands. DC's going to start singing this song. Here's what's going to happen. General Oliver called. You got a need. God wants to meet it. That's it. If you have a need, God wants to meet it. And right now, while he's singing this song, I want you to think about it. Don't wonder, don't look, don't worry about everybody around you. It don't matter about everybody around you. This is you and God. You got a need. Come up here and let God feel that need. Go ahead, son. Touch her right now. Meet every need in the name of Jesus. Every need in the name. Something you need from God. Come on. God's got this. There are angels among us, sent him to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hour. Show us how to live, to teach us how to give, to shout us to the light of love. Y'all sing that with it. I believe there are angels. Awesome. Let's sing that again. Y'all sing that with him. I love that. I believe there are angels. Sing it. It's among us. Sent down to us from somewhere up above. They come to you and me in our darkest hours. Show us how to give it. To teach us how to live. To guide us in the light. Just play it soft there, bro. I had an evangelist friend of mine. He was riding to a church service, and the roads were icy. And he was in a big town and had like five lanes. And he was going along at 55. and something was going on around him. I don't know exactly what it was, a light or something. And he went to stop, and he was into ice, and he began to spin. And he said, in a split second, he said, oh no, Lord, I don't know what to do. Just a split second. And the Lord said, take your foot off the brake. Take your hand off the wheel. This is his argument in a split second. I can't do this, Lord. He said, take your foot off the brake, your hand off the wheel. So he took his foot off the brake, his hand off the wheel, and the car went right back in its lane and stopped where it needed to stop. And he said, that night, God showed him power like he had never seen before. Not in a service, not running up and down the aisles, life to live in a crisis moment. There it was. He took his hands away and said, okay, God. And God just pulled him right over and put him in the right spot. God is awesome. And he sends his angels. They also pick us up and help us soar. One more time, just see, we're going to sing it together, and then we're going to go home. Ready? Come on. One more time. I believe there are angels among us, sent down to us from somewhere up above. You and me in our darkest hour. This with the light of love. Isn't God awesome? Thank Him. Just thank Him. Just thank Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you, God, that we're not alone, that you didn't give up on us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Come back Tuesday night. We're talking about identity. And this is going to be a booklet. It's going to be a booklet we're going to have for you. And the book is going to be 7 days to change. And 7 days, each day is going to have the scriptures and a thought. And the other side is going to be a journal where you can just write things in it. We're going to make it. It's going to be homemade, but it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be here. But right now, everybody on Tuesday night is getting it 2 days at a time. We've already got the first and the second, I mean, the first, second, third, and fourth day. This week, they're going to get the fifth and or maybe the sixth day. And then the seventh day is coming up. But it's going to be awesome. Amen? So y'all, come on. Identity. God wants you to know what you got in Him. Amen? Amen.
Father God, we love you, Lord. We just praise you. Just thank you so much for being there for us every moment of our lives. Lord, no matter how hard it gets, Lord, we just got to remember that you're in control and you're there. And Lord, just read your word. Live this life with you in control. And Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise for what you're going to do in each and every life here today. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and amen.